But first, we go to Afghanistan. A major general has died, the highest-ranking member of the U.S. military to be killed in action in Afghanistan. It happened at a military training facility on the outskirts of Kabul, reportedly shot dead by an Afghan soldier at that training base. A possible insider attack, an Afghan soldier opening fire on coalition forces. Joining us is foreign correspondent Matthew Rosenberg in Kabul for our partner, the New York Times. Matthew, does this look like one of the so-called insider attacks at this point?
It does. And then the question always is, well, was this guy working for the Taliban or was he not? It's always incredibly difficult to say. The Taliban is not taking credit, which is unusual. They usually do pretty quickly. Their spokesman told us they were still trying to figure out what had happened. And, you know, a lot of these insider attacks have over the years, Afghan and American officials have concluded that it's Afghans who have grown very alienated and very angry about the foreign presence here and in some ways internalized the Taliban narrative without actually joining the Taliban.
Speaking with Matthew Rosenberg via Skype from Kabul, a major general is killed in this incident. Is there any indication that the rank was the nature of the attack here on some level?
We just don't know. I mean, presumably the Afghan soldier would have known that the man with stars on his shoulders was important. And he was said to have been shot at close range, which makes it sound like he was aiming at this major general. But we just don't know details yet. The camp where it happened is locked down tight. The coalition here is locked down tight. Even at the Pentagon, they're not saying much.
Matthew Rosenberg, I'm looking at some of the reports from various media in Kabul. And it's curious to me, even the Taliban spokesman that you mentioned, there is an assumption that there are plants and that there are agents inside these training facilities. The Taliban is said to have regularly their people working at these training facilities. This isn't necessarily just some rogue individual who turns a gun out of frustration.
It's not. And I think there's an assumption that the Taliban has sympathizers in a lot of places. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of evidence that most of these attacks are pre-planned by the Taliban or a Taliban sleeper or something of that nature. In the preponderance of insider attacks, it is, by most accounts, appear to be Afghans who simply don't want to see foreign affair anymore. Quite a frightening prospect. You know, it's one thing if it's a Taliban sleeper agent or something, but if it's just a random person who decides, you know what, I'm tired of these foreigners, they've killed too many Afghans, I'm going to shoot one, how do you guard against that? You know, it's a much more difficult proposition.
What does this do for the mission? I mean, there's all kinds of, pride associated with trying to train this Afghan force. And even this training facility has, you know, pretenses of the military academies.
You know, it's another blow to it. How big an effect it has, an immediate effect, it's hard to say. You know, the obvious immediate effect is they tighten security again. When insider attacks became a real problem in 2012, you started having American trainers training people in their body armor. You know, you put up walls between you and the people you're training to protect yourself, but that also alienates them and further makes it more difficult to get the training done and to have any real meaningful presence here, and makes it more dangerous in some ways because people who are alienated and feel distant from you are much more likely to attack you. It's hard to say what the political fallout will be back in the U.S. And a big selling point for the continued presence of Americans here through 2016 was that they wouldn't be in frontline roles and they would be away from danger. And that is true. They're not in frontline roles, but they're not away from danger.
It's got to be demoralizing to conduct training in your own personal green zone.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think, you know, today at the headquarters of the coalition, we're told that the commanding general, General Dunford, U.S. Marine, held a series of closed-door meetings, first with his very senior officers, then slightly less senior officers, try and take everybody's temperature, reassure people, and keep things on track. But they also called all their advisors back and really clamped down on security just to make sure everybody was accounted for and then decide how to move forward. This does make things harder and more complicated.
It's untenable, I gather, to run a training facility and not giving the Afghans actual weapons, right?
It's totally untenable. And, you know, the Afghan military faces real threats. They need guards. They have to guard their own facilities. There's nobody else to do it for them. And those guards need to have weapons. It's just impossible. You're fighting a war that is now fought largely by Afghan forces. They're going to be very armed. They're going to be all around you. And even on the street where we live, every day I walk past Afghan policemen and others. I try and smile and be nice. But, you know, there's no way to avoid heavily armed Afghans in Afghanistan. It is what it is.
Any sense of the fallout here in the early going, demoralization on the part of U.S. soldiers, a sense of frustration on the part of Afghans at this point?
You know, it's hard to say. People are really clammed up. I think there certainly is a degree of shock, and that will be followed by some demoralization. It is just one man in a war where a lot of other people have died, but it's a major general, and it's the highest ranking officer to have died in this war. We're checking right now, but we believe it may well be the first general killed since Vietnam. That's a significant symbolic death that is not going to help keep morale high and keep people pressing forward on the mission.
Foreign correspondent Matthew Rosenberg is in Kabul for our partner, the New York Times. Matthew, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A few more details. This is not the first so-called insider or green-on-blue attack to take place at the Marshal Fahim National Defense University in Kabul. It's a $100 million facility northeast of Kabul. The first attack happened shortly after it opened last year. It's a mostly British-funded facility modeled after the Royal Military Academy in Sandhurst in the UK. This incident adds to Britain's own tragic history in Afghanistan, which goes back to the 1800s.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.